Current state on 90.5 WKAR. Government failure, intransigence, environmental injustice, all were at play in the Flint water crisis, according to the final report from the task force appointed by Governor Snyder to look into what led to the public health disaster there. The report lays much of the blame at the feet of the state's Department of Environmental Quality. It says the DEQ focused on technical and legal compliance while ignoring mounting complaints from Flint residents about the quality of their tap water. So, what lies ahead for the state's top environmental regulator in the wake of the water crisis? Here to give us his take on that and other environmental stories, Great Lakes commentator Gary Wilson. Gary, welcome back.
Hey, Mark. Good morning. Good to be back with you again.
Let's start with this final report from the Flint Water Advisory Task Force. As I said, the task force said that while this was a government failure at every level, the MDEQ was the agency that was most responsible for it. Can you dive a little deeper into how the agency failed in Flint?
Sure, Mark. The main criticism remains that the agency's mode of operation was focused on technical compliance with the rules and regulations instead of protecting people, the citizens of Michigan who pay the salaries via their taxes. You know, agencies like this are designed to be risk-averse and focused on checking off a box that allows them to say that they followed the rules and thus avoiding criticism instead of looking at the outcome. And to oversimplify that just a bit, early on in this whole Flint issue, even before the lead issue had become known, you know, you had citizens of in Flint holding up, containers of brown and brackish water, you know, as early as a year or even more ago, and you know, people at the MDEQ and others saying, "Hey, we tested it and it's okay." So, I think that gets at the heart of the issue there.
The task force blamed the culture of the DEQ for a lot of the failures that led to the problems in Flint. How did the report describe that culture?
Well, as you said in your intro, it was a culture, and I'm quoting here, that was intransigent and belligerent. And this was even when they were confronted with their own failures. That's a pretty strong statement. It went on to say that this is the attitude that allowed Flint to happen, and that this had this type of attitude and behavior had no place in government. You know, this report has, I believe, 108 pages, so it takes some, it takes some serious reading. But there's no mincing of words here. Again, it said this type of attitude that was displayed by the MDEQ has no place in government.
The report didn't let the EPA off the hook either. It said that there was an equally troubling hands-off attitude at the federal level, correct?
That is correct. It said that EPA tolerated Michigan's intransigence and also that the EPA failed to exercise its authority to intervene when the intervention was clearly warranted. EPA knew that Michigan was failing, and it didn't exercise its authority under the Safe Drinking Water Act when that happens. And I think that's best evidenced, separate from the report, where Virginia Tech professor Mark Edwards, he's been the lead expert on this, he has repeatedly said, and he testified before Congress, that EPA was complicit in, and I'm quoting, aiding and abetting the MDEQ. And then just this morning, EPA whistleblower Miguel Del Toro was quoted in the Detroit News as having said that EPA, and I'm referring to EPA's Region 5 in Chicago, was, and again I'm quoting, a cesspool for officials who were reluctant to act on what he thought was a public health crisis. That's an EPA executive talking about his colleagues. So pretty strong stuff.
I want to return to an issue I discussed yesterday with Ari Adler, who's a chief spokesperson for the Snyder administration, and this involves environmental injustice, which the task force cited as one of the roots of the crisis. What did it point to as evidence from the crisis that happened, at least in part, because it is a community with a large number of minority and low-income residents? What did it point to?
Well, it meets the classic definition of environmental justice injustice, and that is where people are treated differently on environmental issues based on their race and or economic status. I think that was clearly evidenced in Flint, and perhaps it's best illustrated by an internal EPA email that was part of an EPA email dump a few weeks ago, where an EPA staffer, again in the Region 5 office in Chicago, said, I'm not so sure Flint is a community we want to go out on a limb for. Now, in context, that was relating to Flint's financial status, and it's subject to interpretation, but it seems to send the message that maybe there's some communities we'll take a risk for and take strong action, and maybe some are just not worth it. You can read into that what you want, but I think that there's a pretty strong signal there.
Gary Wilson is a Great Lakes environmental commentator. We're talking about the biggest environmental stories from around the region this month. Recent reporting by the Detroit Free Press's Keith Matheny found that Flint wasn't the only time that the culture at the MDEQ seemed to value technical compliance over complaints from residents. Can you talk to us about some of those other cases?
Sure, Mark. Matheny's report talked about the perception or the reality, depending on maybe your viewpoint, that the MDEQ under the Snyder administration has been more business-friendly than responsive to the needs of citizens. Again, that technical compliance emphasis. And in his article, he referred to Marathon Oil and the Petcoke issues, storage issues in Detroit, where MDEQ sided with business interests over those of the public. In his report, Matheny cited the MDEQ's mission statement under Governor Snyder that says MDEQ should be full partners in Michigan's economic development. Now, mission statements are high level, but they're also designed to send messages about priorities. Read what you want into it, but I think the message had been sent at the highest levels of government in Michigan that business was supposed to have a prominent seat at the table when making environmental decisions.
There has been a personnel shift at the DEQ. Dan Wyant, the former chief, stepped down. Several other key figures in the department either resigned or were let go. But has Governor Snyder said anything about how he plans to implement a cultural shift? And will changing out the leadership of the agency be enough?
Well, I haven't seen anything from the governor, but in response to your question, will changing the leader at the agency be enough? I would say no. Rejiggering, putting a new leader in and rejiggering the boxes on an organizational chart won't cut it. Governor Snyder has personally and publicly blamed the MDEQ for Flint, and he's accepted accountability for their failures. He now has ownership of MDEQ, its mission, how it treats citizens, and the results it produces. So he's out of excuses, and he'll have to be accountable for what what MDEQ does from here on. And you know, the whole world will be watching from this point.
Keith Cray is the interim director at DEQ right now. Do you have any feeling at all for how long? He is a longtime administrator, I think generally pretty widely respected. Do you have any feeling for how long Mr. Cray might remain at the top at DEQ?
I don't, and my cursory research, gives him high marks. He's a respected executive, but he's also on the inside of the Snyder administration and Michigan government, and to have credibility going forward, I'm wondering if the governor doesn't need to appoint somebody who is outside of his inner circle, so to speak, and can really lend some credence that the MDEQ will be acting with a new mission and acting responsibly and considering the citizens of Michigan over other matters.
We were hoping to have time to talk to you about Lake Erie, but that is going to have to wait for another visit. There have been reports and studies done involving phosphorus runoff into Lake Erie. I'm sorry we're out of time, but we do want to thank Gary Wilson, Great Lakes commentator here for Current State. We've been talking about March's biggest environmental stories. Gary, thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Good to be with you.
This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.